It's Tuesday night, June 12th?
11th.
Can't find my Bible. I didn't leave it here, did I? It's not in my usual places at home.
Might be here.
I mean, I got other Bibles, but not the Bible I use. Yeah, you can read that one.
It's a big one.
Cookie, I'll take that one for now. If you can, sure. Oh, yeah, thanks.
John brought his good Bible tonight. He brought the one that's got a cover on it, so it's pretty.
Well,
it's a little raining outside, so. So, Keith, you said you you had a good talking to.
Yeah. Yes. I got you guys to help me on this one. You know, and what's coming? I had a real prayer session early this morning, and I got a good nap this afternoon to make up for the time I didn't sleep. But anyway, we know that the Word of God is a manna that comes down. You know what I mean? And so that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we know that as a manna had every ingredient in it to make you healthy and to live right, so does the Word of God. And there's everything in here to sustain us and to make us what God wants us to be. And I started to get a picture at the manna in the middle of the night. And I'm not going to say that I actually God spoke, but it's like on the inside I heard a voice. I heard something. And I'll tell you what it was. And it makes sense, but it's a strange thing. You never look for truth, okay, from those who are trying to digest yesterday's manna.
That's good.
You follow me?
Uh-huh.
People are trying to digest yesterday's manna. You don't look to them for truth.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be fresh every day. And so the Word of God, so God has given us an ongoing, continual relationship with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
He's caused us somehow to get into understanding of it. And we don't understand it, but he's caused us somehow to come into an understanding of it. So by an ongoing intake of God's Word, it changes us from one state of glory to another state of glory into the likeness of God, of Christ, mm-hmm. of God to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is vital that we take in God's Word. And as it says in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, where it says that he's going to write his Word or his law or whatever, the same thing, he's going to write it on our minds and in our hearts. I'm thinking that a vital aspect of that is what he has done for us, is to cause us to be concerned about listening to his Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good. You know, you will not find the Holy Spirit in yesterday's manna.
No.
You'll find man.
Because he guides you into all truth.
Right.
The place where he guides you into the new.
Where the place where the Holy Spirit is in today's manna.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were told to gather enough manna in the morning for that day. And the next morning, I mean, for 40 years, they lived in the desert and they ate like this. They were to gather this, a tiny little, it's like a coriander seed. I don't even know what that is, but it's pretty small. Or like a hoarfrost. And I don't even know what that is. Do you know what that means?
I pictured it as being like a little, what do you call it? Hailstone or something, you know?
It could be. I don't know. I never looked it up. I was going to look it up. But anyway, that's what it was. It resembled that. It was this tiny, tiny seed, and the earth would be covered with it. And they'd scoop it up enough for a day's use. But if they didn't, if they tried to save any till the next day, it turned wormy and began to sink. God would cause it. He wanted them to only accept on the Sabbath, which we think was Saturday. On Friday, they would gather 2 days' worth of manna, and it was fine. Because they couldn't gather it on the Sabbath day. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, was God in that? That he would cause it to last 2 days on one occasion, and it would only last 1 day on the other?
Well, certainly was. Sure.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so here's the word. And it's come down from heaven. Did it come down from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. It's called the Word of God. And I've wondered over the years, why is it called that? But I'm beginning to understand. It is a supernatural visitation of the Holy Spirit by God giving us something that will transform our lives. I was talking to Angel about that today, and the effect that, you know, that her life has had on Ben. I thought, you know, it's a wonderful thing what God's Word does in us and for us. It says that God's Word is perfect and converts a soul. And I'm saying it can do that with or without us helping it. God has given us a preaching ministry and a teaching ministry and a helping ministry, but that word is capable of transforming the African illiterate by listening to the word without having any help from anybody.
Mm.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he has called us to preach the word and to teach the word and to present the word. And so it says that the ministry of preaching is foolishness. Preaching is foolishness. Is that what it says?
It does. It better stay foolish too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The moment it starts making sense, then, you know.
So you preach what God gives you. You preach the freshness of the word. And you keep you get this manna, it keeps on coming. And yesterday's manna, it kills us. Does it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What is yesterday's manna, anyways? What are you referring to?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
What we had yesterday.
But if it's truth.
Yeah, but I'm not. What? Okay. But yesterday is. We're looking for a fresh manna today.
Yesterday's revelation.
Yesterday's revelation has to be built on. You know, it's not that it's wrong. Maybe I'm not saying it right here, but.
There's more to this. Always more to whatever we knew yesterday.
Yeah, builds on what you got yesterday.
But if we take yesterday's revelation and we stay with it and we build on it.
No, then we can't.
We're done.
No.
I guess I kind of see it tying in with what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, where he feeds the birds in the air. They don't worry about the next day or whatever. You know, we are to be in that same kind of dependent on the day relationship.
Yeah, that really fits that part.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and like I said before, and Jesus is, you know, talking about our food for our stomach, but in the Lord's Prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's good.
So it's like, this day, you know what I mean? today's bread for today.
Uh-huh. Which, like, which lines up with what?
It's just like the manna.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread.
So this word is manna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is manna. And
in Revelation, there's a place that I can't quote it exactly, but but it says, and for those that overcome, I will give them the hidden manna.
Yeah.
And I never read the what you're talking about, Keith, or heard it, I don't think.
About manna?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
That would have been in Exodus, you know.
Okay.
Exodus or...
Yeah. I probably read it or heard it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so the manna was... So you, it would be there, right? You would you have to look for it? Okay,
just pick it up.
Okay,
you scoop it up.
And a quail, or what? What was it? Was quail, right?
Well, people got sick of manna. They complained to Moses about it, and Moses went to God and said, "Well, you're not happy with the manna. Okay, I'll give you a fix." And he said quail. They got real sick of the quail, too.
he sent them a flood of quail. Mm-hmm. What was it, up to their waist?
I don't know. I don't remember that, but...
Yeah,
was it up to their waist?
Oh, yeah. There was a whale of a lot of quail.
And, so here they are.
A whale.
They're eating all this quail. And it says that while the meat was still in their teeth, God started to
set more.
No.
Oh.
He started to kill them off. I can't remember how it says it, but he set a plague. That's what it was. He set a plague upon them and started killing them.
Okay.
Is that what it was?
They end up being darn sorry they've been complaining about manna.
But you know what? I don't blame them at all either.
No.
I would want something else.
After 30 years of the same thing every day, you would think, come on.
All these things that...
Well, I think it is a type, though. If you find God ho-hum, you find the Word of, let me give you something new. I don't think, you don't have that appetite.
Your phone? Somebody's
phone's going.
Somebody's.
You,
Charlie.
Yeah, it might be.
We're
going to wait. Well, I don't know how people hear these things. I don't.
you were quoting Revelation 2:7.
Okay.
17.
Okay, what is
2:17?
2:17, and I think Charlie's looking for it. Yeah, it's, to the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna.
Okay. Yeah, overcomes. So he will be overcome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's Revelation 2:17.
Yeah, so, so we have it, the hidden manna, but it's hidden, but he will give it, but it's hidden.
So interesting. How long have we been listening to the Word? Approximately.
I've been
here almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Sick of it yet?
Dominic,
no.
You only got 20 more years to go.
Isn't it
amazing that when it is like good manna, that you don't get sick of it?
Oh, yeah.
They lived for 40 years in the wilderness, eating manna with all the other nations watching what's going on. It's impossible. What they were doing is totally impossible. It says that their shoes never wore out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Teeth didn't go bad.
And in that manna was every vitamin and ingredient and whatever that they needed to sustain them.
Right.
But you know what? But you don't. After a while, you'd like something else. After 20 years, you'd like something else.
And a little side note, Sabbath, it's got to be Saturday, like you were suggesting, but in Spanish, Saturday is very close to saying Sabbath O. Sabbath O. All right? So that's why I would imagine that Sabbath is got to be Saturday.
Well, I think they someone, some church, something or other, made a decision. We're not going to do it the way the Jews do it. We'll do it the next day, right, the eighth day, or whatever.
And first day. In fact, if you open a Spanish Bible, instead of saying Sabbath, it will say Saturday. And on the Saturday, and on the Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. El Sábado. Sábado.
Yeah.
Sábado. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's a huge deal. I just pointed it out.
Mm. Well, in the New Covenant, treat every day.
Yeah.
And if you want to make a day special and it's unto the Lord, it's fine. You're just doing it because you want to do a...
You're not obeying a law.
Yeah, right. It should be doing it from your heart.
Right. It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not. You're not obeying a law when you do it.
Right.
But it says in there that while the flesh was still in their teeth, something happened. Remember what it was? He said it set a plague upon them or something?
And I don't remember that part. I just remember they got real sick of quail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they
or
they
the
said
quail made them real sick or something.
Whatever. The quail came in from the east, whatever that meant. Yeah. Well. And it was up to their waist. In quail. And they were killing them and eating them. And it says, well, the flesh is still in their teeth.
The Israelites, that whole setting, it's like, they see a physical manifestation of God.
Which phone number?
Every day and every night. From food falling from the sky to a pillar of fire to a cloud that guided them?
Yeah, during the day.
During the day.
Pillar of fire at night.
And I'm thinking, and maybe it became just so common stance that they go, I think we can request a change to the menu. You know, to me, I would think I'd be so in awe of what God was doing after leading me out of captivity that I just wouldn't be.
Oh, it's
I would like to think I wouldn't be a complainer, but yet human nature being what it is, you know, I mean.
Then they build a golden calf and all sorts of things.
What question do you have here, Charlie?
What?
Yeah,
King James.
Okay. What do you got there?
What do you want to see?
Okay, let's look at James 1:27.
You don't like my King James?
I do. I got King James over here. I don't want to see what other.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Getting there.
And this is what I want to point out. It's not really what I was going to point out in the first place.
James 1:27?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just you can start in the half, like to visit. In the second half of 27.
To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep themselves from being polluted by the world.
Okay, hold on. The first half I meant.
Okay. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this.
Okay, a little slower. What?
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless.
How about another one?
Okay, that was the NIV. Here's a Berean. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this.
Okay. All right, that's all good. Anyways, what I want to read is just the way this is translated is a little weird, which this means nothing. But it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So it's almost saying that God is not the Father. You know what I mean? But it's God the Father. Somehow in between Hebrew and English, somehow it got... We are
God and the Father. Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a translation issue.
The International Standard Version says, a religion that is pure and stainless according to God the Father is this.
Okay, so somehow it's
God the Father. Yeah.
And then Holman Christian Standard Bible says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father.
God and Father, yeah. See, there's an extra the here. Or
I suppose.
Anyways, what...
Show two different characteristics of the same thing, but yeah.
Anyways, that's not really what I want. I want to show, okay, so this is religion, blah, blah. You know, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. And, you know, Paul says, you know, go in the world, but don't be of the world. And it's just like, how are you going to, I mean, you live in the world. How you can't run away from the world. That's what Paul says. And like, but very important. He says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Mm-hmm. And the way I can, if I was going to visualize this, it's like, if you're dressed in black, let's say, and if you dip yourself in a glass of ink, you need to come out. I mean, if you're dressed in white, what did I say?
Yeah. You started black, but...
Okay, if you're dressing all white, you should be able to dip yourself in a pool of ink and come out still white when you are in the world. You know what I mean? Don't let the world put his little things in
there. Leave his mark, you know what I mean? Your take on the world. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the translations said unstained.
Okay.
Unstained, and there was another.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but it's the same thing.
But it's important.
Uncorrupted by the world, too. So.
I think it's a pure religion, you know. Anyways, I think it's very important and, you know, worth talking about, not about, but just mentioning, to not let what's not godly, you know, hit us. You know what I mean? We need to become more like Christ, and we can't let the ungodly things make us be more like the ungodly things or behaviors. For example, it says, it says in other scriptures, it says, bad company corrupts good habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if I don't know what it's, a glutton, okay, somebody overeats, you know, but let's say, so if I'm eating healthy, eating good, and if I hang out with a glutton, see, that's a bad behavior will corrupt my good habits.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I mean, we need to try, at least, to not be corrupted by bad behavior, you know what I mean? Because somehow the bad will, or the not godly will influence, you know what I mean?
I do like the idea of what you said before of... having white clothing and dipping it in ink and come out
white. So you can go through the world, anything.
You got to, you're going to have contact with the ink.
Yeah, you have. It's impossible not to.
Right. But as best we can, come out white.
Right.
It's not natural.
No.
Unstained. Yeah. Corrupted. You were referring to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could claim that and say, oh, yes, I'm victorious.
Thank you, Charlie.
I have to say that I'm not yet walking in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that is exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
we are to be. We are in the world, but we are not to become part of the world.
Yeah, I mean, again, Paul says, so what? Are we going to leave the world? No, you're not. You can't leave the world. It's impossible not to dip on yourself, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just,
Yeah, back to what you were talking about, Keith, though. Maybe another way or to think of that old manna, new manna is... To be vigilant, to be looking for new revelation from the Spirit. I mean, not you can't discard the old. I mean, God's word is God's word, and revelation is revelation. But I think, you know, maybe the point behind that was, as we often say, don't stop with what we have. Keep seeking.
Yeah.
Keep seeking more, because we know we don't have the total, we don't have the total picture. So
So
I think maybe it's the encouragement to say, never stop looking for the new manna. Right.
I never, you know, hey, if it's good enough for Martin Luther, it's good enough for me. You know, you don't.
No.
That's way, way wrong.
Right.
But he told Jesus told the devil in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that's a key word, every. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so here we are, we're listening to the every word aspect of it. And so day by day by day, we get new understanding, you know, different revelation. And that's what God, that's why I said that I could hear that like a voice in the middle of the night that says, don't look for truth in those who stumble or are trying to digest yesterday's manna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, didn't we see what's happened is when we started, our condition was to hear the Word of God continually.
Yeah.
A lot of people went, after a while, nah, that's not good enough. We gotta go do this. We gotta this.
We're not doing the stuff.
Yeah.
We're not doing the stuff.
And they weren't satisfied with just receiving from God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
For until He says, He'll have you go do other things.
Well, God's Word and God's time.
Yeah. What we're doing does not make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And but that's kind of like that. You know, I was talking to Angel today about this revelation that we're getting from Jude 19. And, you know, I looked at that as it says, these be those who separate themselves. So we got the Lutherans and the Baptists and the Methodists and, we got all these different things. That's not really what it's talking about. And verse 20 opened my eyes to it. It says, these be those who separate themselves, sensual, you know, using their logic, and not having the Spirit. And it says, but you, beloved, see, that was the thing in verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. And it says, and keep yourselves in the love of God. And so, anyway, it started to give me the value, you know, as if I could get it, the value of tongues and what God has given to us. And for us to degrade it or to belittle it or anything is a shame.
Mm.
Tongues has got to be one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You know what I mean? It's a gift.
Yeah.
And God will give you this gift. And it's mentioned as a gift how many times? And so what has happened is we have not seen the value of it. I'm champion of it in there. I have not seen the value of this thing until recently, until this. The Spirit has opened up the Scriptures to me. So here we are. But you, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is part of the aspect of, and keep, but keep, that will keep you in the love of God.
Yeah. You know, the natural man wants to have money in the bank, wants to be able to say, hey, this thing is all taken care of, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, the parable of the man who tore down his barns and built bigger ones, and he was just going to take it easy, you know, after that, and drink, play, be merry, you know. God said, you fool. This night, your soul will be required of you, you know. But we want to do that. We want to, hey, you know, coast or whatever. And I just, you know, when we are obligated to gather manna every morning, we can't coast.
No.
On what we gathered yesterday, till the Sabbath.
And that's why the intake of the word.
Right, right. It's got to be it's in the same way that you can't breathe now for what you're going to do 10 minutes, you know. You know, you got 10 minutes from now, you're going to have to do some breathing.
And that's why God said, starting out at the very beginning of Psalms, blessed is the man whose delight is in God's word. And on that word does he meditate day and night. Mm-hmm. God's going to bless that person.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's...
You know,
for Pablo's sake, we had a discussion some time ago. We were really, I spent a whole bunch of time discussing the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And one of the things that we ended up seeing was we don't want to preach it at people and say, oh, you got to get this. We want to just speak of it so that it creates a desire and excitement to want it.
Right.
You know, not condemning or anything, right. But make it an exciting gift that you should want from the Lord.
Exactly. Just like we were talking about baptism.
Yeah.
Like, no, you want to be baptized, but like...
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, we did talk like that.
Yeah.
Well, we did the same thing with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so then hoping that, that we want to create a desire that they want that gift.
But you have been coming into that anyway.
Yes.
Speaking tongues.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
And...
a year.
I think what we need to do is be careful with Glenn, but we need to encourage him.
Right.
That is a valuable thing.
Yeah.
And the same thing with James. I've talked to him about it, but it's like water off a duck's back, you know.
Nobody can listen. They don't listen to this thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that is going to be a real asset to him when he gets it. It changes the person's personality.
You know, I was bringing baptism to him, and he said he was baptized twice already. You know,
by immersion.
Oh, you know what? I didn't ask that.
Yeah.
But I told him, you know, I said I might baptize myself. No, not myself again, but I should be baptized again because I have a different understanding of, you know. So and yeah, I never asked him, but you know what I wanted to bring up. I happen to be, I was listening to the scripture the other day, and over there in my camper, outside, so all of a sudden I'm hearing these things, you know, I said, I'm going to write it down. So I wrote it down, and I put the boom box on top of the vapor, and next thing, the vapor wasn't there, the wind must have taken it away. So, but I did remember this one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so another one in James.
Stay out of James.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, that's a good book.
We really didn't mean that. James is good. He's just a little tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on a second. No, he's not.
No, I didn't mean it.
This is a good one.
I like James. Just don't take him to heart.
Yeah. Just don't get too serious about it.
No, this is nothing like that at all. It says on James 1:12, unless, no, I'm kidding. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So I wanted to talk about the crown of life. When I think crown of life, I'm thinking you die, you get a crown of life. But this is not saying anything about after. It says, because when you're tempted, in this life, you know.
Sure.
So, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So, that crown of life, we receive right now.
I would like one of those.
But we have it.
God sees it.
Huh?
God sees it.
Yes.
Even when we don't.
Right, see, because we have endured temptation, all of us. But when he shall receive the crown of life. So the crown of life begins in this on earth.
Sure. I think you're right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what it seems to indicate that.
Yeah, which the Lord promised to them the love him. So it's not something that you receive after. I think you receive it, you know.
Well, I think there's somewhere else where it says if you endeavor to walk without sin, you've attained. I mean,
yes.
It doesn't say crown of life.
Doesn't say crown of life.
No, it says it's something else.
Yeah.
But it's on that. Yeah. But it makes sense what you're saying because it's implied other places. Just doesn't say crown of life.
Right. Well, just like you know, your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. It's written there.
But it's something about like. Has promised to those for when he has been approved. There's something that I know I've read.
It was in, I believe, 2 Corinthians. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But there was a time. You had a kind of a revelation regarding it, Ken. It jumped out on you, at you.
Huh.
And
I don't know if that's. Was the same thing or not? But possibly, if you remember, sometimes you don't remember what God gave you.
Yeah, sometimes it's not for you as you get the revelation.
Yeah.
And then you go, what was that I just said?
Right.
You didn't really, it wasn't registering to you, but someone else heard it.
Mm-hmm. It is true. That is
thing
true.
Thing is that, okay, I understand. We do benefit in understanding with God's word, you know, we understand and we remember or whatever, but we also need to remember that the word of God is food, okay, it's just food. So if you remember or not, I don't think it's that much of an issue, because it's food to your body, to your spirit, to your soul. Just like, what do you eat yesterday for lunch? Nobody knows, but I can see the effects. You're still alive, you're healthy, you got all the vitamins.
Right.
So if you receive from God to feed your spirit, if you don't remember it, I'm not saying forget it, but if you don't remember what you heard, it's just fine as long as you're eating it.
As long, yeah, it nourished you then.
As long as you're eating it.
You need, yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. You know, yesterday's, if you retain yesterday's lunch,
right.
You retain it in the form of fat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So.
Well. Too, I think there's also the value of hearing the word of God, but not yet truly hearing it. But your spirit knows, and the true revelation hasn't been revealed yet. That's why I mean, I Revelations 2:17 that we were just talking about, that starts out with "He who has an ear to hear," and I love that because that kind of always says. You may think you know what's being said here, but you're probably that was the one about the hidden manna.
Mm-hmm.
And that reference, he who has an ear to hear.
Mm-hmm.
My point was that it is food, and just like in the natural, you may eat something, but your body doesn't consume it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while before the body gets the benefit of eating that food.
Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes we hear things that just sort of are waiting until God turns it turns it loose.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Wonder. Oh, you
go ahead.
Well, we don't need to discuss this. I brought this once, but I don't know if it's the same. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's not really like a crown, but
we're going from glory to glory.
But
though.
Thinking, you're receiving the same glory of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not a bad thing.
No.
There's not a crown involved, but that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, the same. I
crown, but.
The same image.
I better watch my tongue.
Glory
to
glory. So anyway, but I don't think that was the one. But.
No, it's not the one, but that's good.
Yeah.
And it does tie in with what Pablo was bringing.
Yeah. I think so.
You know, going from glory to glory. It's a.
I got a question for you. In the fourth chapter of John, after Jesus had been talking to this Samaritan woman, and his disciples went into town to get some food. And so the woman left and went in and told the man of Samaria about this man that she had met and so forth. And then in verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They went and got food. And then he makes this profound statement, and he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Like what? And therefore said his disciples, one to another, has any man brought him something to eat?
Who had gotten the food?
Right.
And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? Was the word sufficient?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in place in situations where I've gone a long time without eating, and just with the scriptures or witnessing or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you don't even get hungry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been there.
Yeah.
Paul says, I have learned to be in want and with plenty. You know what I mean? I don't know how he worded it, but... But I think that God has a way of taking care of us if we, you know, in the middle of it.
I mean, look at Jesus. I mean, 40 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Well, he provided for that widow who just kept filling up those jars full of oil, you know.
Yeah. We got a lot of mysterious things. In the book of Jude, Jude says, you know, the only thing he says about himself, he says, Jude, the brother of James. And people are pretty sure that James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. They're pretty sure of it. I mean, 2,000 years later, it's kind of hard to be exactly sure, but, you know, but both of them, there's something different about both books. They're like, you know, James is kind of a little bit hard to swallow. So is Jude.
Being half brothers, mm-hmm. meaning that they're because their father was Joseph?
Yeah.
Well, they'd still be brothers.
They're brothers, but they're.
Yeah.
You know, father was Joseph.
I mean, because Jesus' father was God. So.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yes.
But I mean, in their call, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. They were considered full brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as anybody knew, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
unless Joseph died, and then there was some other,
Yeah, but I don't think that was it. I think
we have no idea.
I think people started saying half brothers probably because they said, "Well, they didn't have father. God is their father."
Yeah.
But, you know.
Could be. Yeah.
That probably wasn't the right way to say it. But
either way, brothers of Jesus, half, full, three quarters, whatever.
But I tell you, you know, for where is it in John 6, where it says, neither did his brethren believe in him. To come from the place of doubt, whatever they had, into the upper room and then to have to read James and Jude if they were brothers of Jesus is a real major change. It's a major change. And you know what? If I may be the one to say that, if we keep doing what we're doing and keep listening to God's word, we're going to find ourselves in a very precarious situation one day. Do you know why John was on the Isle of Patmos, and you know what the Isle of Patmos was?
I think it was an exile.
It was an exile, a place of exile.
Yeah, it was a penal colony or something.
Did you see what it says, why he was there?
Mm-hmm. For the testimony of?
Of Jesus Christ, and because of the word of God.
Yeah. Didn't seem to bother him too much, did it?
Uh-uh.
In fact, he got more revelation because he was there.
Yeah. So what does he do? And Paul. Paul's locked up in Rome, waiting to see Caesar, and he starts writing books.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wrote Philippians, didn't he?
Some of the most profound things ever.
Yeah.
He's in prison.
That's the time.
Yeah, and then wasn't Paul and Silas that were in prison singing and the doors all opened?
Yeah.
Broke the chains, right?
Mm-hmm. He called out to the gatekeeper, don't harm himself, we're still here.
Yeah, he was going to commit suicide.
He knew this is not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself.
I was just kind of looking up at the chain and the King James about Jude and authorship. And they go, it says uncertain and probably Jude, the brother of James, and it goes on and it says, the Lord's brothers did not believe in him at first, John 7:5. But after his resurrection, they became his followers, Acts 1:14. It's possible that Jude, because of his early unbelief, felt that he was not worthy to sign himself as brother of Jesus. So in writing the epistle, he called himself a servant.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It
makes some sense, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I was not...
That would be
a little late to the party, so I'm just being humble.
That would be a sign of humility,
I guess it's all kind of speculation, but
it is a little bit, but it seems like we're just dwelling on it. I thought I'd read that and share that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But, I don't know. You asked earlier, 20 years, does that seem strange? And I think I would answer by saying, it doesn't seem like it's been 20 years.
No, it doesn't at all.
It seems like it's been a few months. Because it really does seem fresh and new all the time.
I got to get that little thing.
You don't have it yet?
No. But I'm listening to one tape, and that's fine.
Okay.
Because any one of those CDs has enough information, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There might be some value in over it,
Yeah.
But in connection with that stuff earlier, I think I've mentioned before, but I'll tell you again. I was talking to my sister when I went to visit Alaska for my 40th high school class reunion. She wanted to know about church. And said, man, no, we're listening to the Bible. And she said, still?
Oh, no.
Still?
Yeah.
That was in 2007.
Oh, no. You don't mention her anymore. Yeah.
You know what some of the people around us are saying? Still.
All right.
You know what the people around the Israelites in the wilderness were saying? Still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, going back a few pages in our conversation, famous, Matthew 25, saying, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not for your body, blah, 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 blah. You know, long story short, you know, God will take care of you, you know, don't worry about your food, your drink. So then Jesus, so don't worry about anything. Uh-huh. And going back to, you know, the meat to eat, that is to do the will of the Father. So then Jesus kind of finishes this with, you know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So if you have the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's one thing. And then all these things will be added to you. So see, my reading between the lines in here kind of is don't worry about what you're gonna eat, what you're gonna drink, what you're gonna wear, what you're gonna drive, what you're gonna who knows what. Don't worry about these things, because guess what? God is gonna give you His Spirit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's just what it's saying. Is it? And after you got His Spirit, oh yeah, you're gonna have these things too. Mm-hmm. But basically, God is saying, I'm gonna give you My Spirit. When you have My Spirit, You don't need to eat. You don't need to anything. You don't need. See, we think, and I'm repeating myself from our life, looking at it. So we don't need food that we think we need. Jesus didn't, and we are supposed to be like Jesus. And this is not a metaphor. This is the opposite of a metaphor, whatever that is. This is for real. This is Jesus is not parable or thing. He says, don't worry about any of these things, because you are going to receive the Spirit of God, which is sufficient. It's sufficient. You know what I mean? Oh, and by the way, all these things will be out of you. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, the Spirit of God will take care of, if we have the Spirit of God, like we need to have the Spirit of God, eating wouldn't be a thought in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God is saying. He's just like, and that's what He wants us.
Yeah, I think your interpretation of that scripture is right, just right smack dab in the middle of the bullseye.
Yeah, yeah. He, God is like, I got My Spirit that I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you even considering all these things?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like I don't. I vaguely understand this, but I definitely I'm not where I think I should be.
How very, very good to be in that place.
Yeah.
I mean, and the reason we aren't is we haven't gotten all of the Spirit He wants to give us.
Right. Yeah. See, this is a parable now. It says, it's a field with a parable, and so when you find the peril, the field, the person wants is just forget. Everything is left behind. All just focus on the peril. So we have to know the peril and find the peril and know that there's a peril, which is the Spirit of God. You know what I mean? When we know everything about it, and all of a sudden it's like we go, you know, we don't, nothing matters. You just go after the peril, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where Jesus was. What is food? You know what I mean? The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Mm-hmm. Well, He doesn't need to. He's got the Spirit of God. He could sleep standing up or in a tree or somebody will give Him a place to sleep.
I have meat to eat that you know not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is to do the will of My Father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What I thought interesting about that was the meat that you're looking for, the meat that's often referred to, is to do the will of the Father.
Right.
I mean, you kind of like, there's many references about, we're not talking about milk, we're talking about meat.
Yeah.
And
the
meat, Jesus says, the meat that I am is to do the will of My Father.
And when we say meat, you know, meat is, when you talk about meat, is the meat, the backbone, is the nutrition.
The purpose.
Now, I think in Elizabethan England, you know, King James period, meat was a word for food.
Oh, right. Okay, food. Right.
Still, that holds up.
Yeah.
But
so we should be gathering in the mornings for our daily food for the day.
For the day, yeah.
And where should we be getting it? that's what we're getting. You know, it's not that we're getting, right now we're not just getting gathering in the morning.
I love the notion of, you know, watching what the birds do.
Right.
They don't go to their store of food. Right. They're just, you know, it's of the moment all the time.
Right.
It's of the moment. And
yeah, that's a good illustration for us.
Yeah.
To, you know.
And the disciples, even, they were so much doing whatever with Jesus. He says, and they forgot to eat, he says there. Exactly that. He says, yeah, for I don't know how many days.
Yeah.
They forgot to eat. So it because they're so full of the Spirit, it's not even a consideration. You know what? I don't know when I get weird, but they probably forgot to shower and all that stuff. Because God took care of them smelling, or they probably didn't have time to go to the bathroom, nothing. You know what I mean? They just...
Of course, in that, there's a kind of interesting thing, though. Because Jesus finally says... Stop. Rest.
Yes.
And eat.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about one of the times Jesus was ministering, and he makes the point he was concerned about them all leaving where they had gathered to go back because they had been there for a couple of days and they hadn't had anything to eat.
Yeah.
And
right.
So I agree 100% with what you just said, but yet there's an example where he was worried about them having natural food.
Yes.
So
but this is a separate occasion. See, you're thinking about the loaves and the fishes.
Well, one of them.
No, yeah. See, in the loaves and the fishes, they everybody followed Jesus, and it was the crowd. The crowd was following Jesus, mm-hmm. and then they didn't eat for 3 days.
Yeah.
But no, I'm talking specifically about the disciples. It says, I have nothing to do with the loaves and the fishes. This is the disciples were so
yeah
whatever that they forgot to eat.
Might be a
which is
I read it not too long ago. It could be in Luke possibly. I don't know.
Well, then
figure out where to find it. But
that would be just. I'm just trying to tease the difference between the. You know, the disciples, you know, were going along and were having conversations with Jesus to the point that they forgot to eat or didn't care to eat or didn't need to eat.
I think they were ministering too, weren't they?
They were. That's if they were. Man, I can't find it.
But to the same point, Jesus said, "Well, now you need to."
Yes.
Have nourishment. No, what
I gotta find
did.
It.
But it's kind of like. While if the Spirit of the Lord's on you, you don't have to worry about it.
And I,
you know,
and that makes sense because you when Jesus is in the garden and he's praying those 40 days.
Okay, here. Mark 8:14.
Oh, it's Mark.
Mark 8:14.
Huh? Let's make sure we're all reading it correctly.
They forgot to take bread.
Yeah, well, that's...
They forgot to take bread, so...
I'm thinking of a different place.
That's what I was thinking. Forgot to eat, by the way.
I think that they're in the ship there. They forgot to take bread.
Yeah. And then he gives the lesson about
right.
11 of the Pharisees. 11 of the Pharisees.
Right.
No, there's somewhere where they were ministering.
Jesus said, okay, time out, time to eat.
Yeah, because they had went without sleep and eating, I think, or something.
Okay.
I'm
second guessing myself. I'm pretty sure, for they forgot to eat. It. They didn't eat.
Yeah, minister. I don't know. We have key words that would find that necessarily. Thinking Luke because he gives such a, you know, chronicle of everything that went on.
You know, Keith was talking earlier about Jesus after he was talking with the woman at the well, and He was, then the disciples brought the food here that they'd gone into town to get, you know. And he says, I have food to eat that you know not of, and so forth. He really got buzzed up talking with that lady. And I thought about what it was, what there was about her, about that exchange that made him so enthusiastic, you know, that he...
referring to the woman of the well, sonny?
Mm-hmm, right. And I think it was somehow her openness,
yeah,
to hear whatever it is that he had to say, and her advancing, well, you know, she kept asking him more questions, you know, suggesting, well, now maybe you're the Messiah, huh? And he said, yes, I am. You know, she just kept pushing more.
Well, somehow, by the discerning power of his Father, of God, he saw a lot of things about this woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
no, you don't have a husband.
You wouldn't think that he saw.
Uh-huh.
He says, call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you said that right. You had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You know what? That goes against everything that the Jews ever taught or believed. What business is it, what right did he have talking to that woman? Even his disciples were dumbfounded.
Yeah.
They didn't dare ask, why are you talking to this woman? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, and especially a woman.
The woman, she was kind of fine with it. She, you must be a prophet.
We started the conversation. He said, give me something to drink.
She was surprised at that. Aren't you a Jew? Why are you talking to me?
Yeah, why are you talking to me?
Right.
She's expecting him to just ignore
her. Yeah, there's a lot to that somehow, isn't
there? Well, you know what? It does, it shows that God does not have minds. He doesn't have we look at it and we say, well, you can't cross that line. But God doesn't have those.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're really not, he's not sent to Samaria at that point. But he goes and spends 2 days down in Samaria. And as a result of it, the men that knew her and started to believe in him, they said, you know, well, when you told us about him, we believed. But now we really believe. And this has been, this is what I had sewed on this blanket that was given to Ryan and Ashley for their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It says, now we really believe because we have heard him ourselves. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. You know what causes people to believe? Hearing him themselves. It's going in, hearing yesterday's manna in a church someplace, and you know, yesterday's whatever, even if they were truth, even if they were good revelations. That's you don't keep teaching yesterday's thing. You don't, not, I shouldn't say that. You don't keep dwelling on yesterday's manna. You start new every day.
Mm-hmm.
God's mercies are new every morning. You know, his revelations are new on a daily basis. And one of the major things that has happened to us has been by us listening to the scriptures nonstop. It's always fresh. It's always fresh. And I had quite a, you know, I can't even say that any special experience. It just in prayer, it was really, really good this morning. 2:30.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a comment.
Yeah.
Truth never gets old.
Mm-hmm. I think we are experiencing that, aren't we?
Right.
Yeah. We wouldn't have particularly known that.
I mean, so
before, but
so once you have a truth, it's still fresh. That, it's always fresh. So you can I mean, I think it's okay that you would relate that to somebody else, because to them it's new.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do know of church people who are just grinding through the same stuff.
Yeah.
And that is old.
Yeah, right.
That stuff is old.
What are they called? Regurgitation?
Yeah, right. Right.
Anyway,
or whatever.
I can't find the scripture I've been talking about.
I did a search too, disciples not eating
and yeah. It doesn't exist.
Couldn't get that. Uh-huh. Well,
maybe for next time.
Yeah. We can look at this. But I was thinking, I was trying to say that there was, Jesus had been preaching to that large gathering, and then yes, he did multiply the bread, but he was saying it was right before that where we're at in Mark. So
when you were saying that, it was like, yeah, he was concerned that they ate, but in the process, then he also did a miracle.
Right.
So that there was spiritual benefit also.
Right. I
wonder if what I'm thinking
is... A cynic might say, hey, he's doing this. So yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if what I'm thinking is not in the Gospels. That if it's later on.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Well, there's the time on the ship in the storm there where Paul says, be sure. You know, they've gone through the storm for 20 days or however long. And Paul says... You ought to eat now because it's for your health. I don't know why.
You're going to be jumping into the water.
Right,
swimming.
Right.
Sure.
There's that occasion. I'm sure
I've read somewhere where they...
Yep, they didn't eat or sleep.
I'm pretty sure it's in the Gospels. But it's probably... It's not a big deal. It's probably only that much.
Well, I'm certainly interested because it doesn't ring any bells for me at all.
Yeah, is the word sleep there too?
I don't know. I don't know for sure if sleep's in there or not, but...
You know, who wrote the Acts? Luke, apparently.
Luke.
But you know, when they talk about the ship, it's Paul speaking in first person.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny what goes on there later on in the book of Acts.
Because I think a lot of the time, I think Luke might have been traveling with Paul.
Maybe.
As his scribe.
Because, you know, it says Acts... Of the this is the Acts of the Disciples. Isn't that what it is?
Uh-huh. Something like that, yeah.
So, it's not necessarily written by one. It could be written by two, three, four. I mean, doesn't it start giving an account of all the things so you can see what happened? So, it seems like it's written to Paul, saying like, hey, Paul, hey, you know what happened to you? Well, let me tell you about the same stuff.
I don't know if it says it like that. I think it just says...
The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, referring to the book of Luke, all that Jesus, until the day when he was taken up, you know.
I make an account for you.
Is that in the beginning of Acts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Luke. I'm thinking that Luke wrote that to Paul, the Gospel of Luke. I'm thinking that Luke like wrote it kind of for Paul's sake, you know, not knowing it was for everybody's sake. But because Theophilus, I think, is kind of Paul, isn't it?
I don't know.
I've heard it just someone who loves God.
Oh.
All the people out there who love God.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, Theophilus.
Oh, okay. Who can nothing even matter. Either way, but yeah, it does seem like Paul is writing. He's speaking in first person in the ship, about the ship.
So I believe that somebody was writing down the account of everything Paul was doing.
Yeah.
Either he repeated it later or whatever. Because I think because one of the places it says.
In one of the books that he...
It implies that somebody's writing it.
Yeah.
He talks about scribe. That's right.
His faithful scribe.
One of the epistles.
Yeah.
It talks about it. Yeah, this is Paul, but it was written down by this other guy.
Yeah.
Right. Especially Paul was blind one way or another.
For a while he was. Anyway.
For a while he couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know that there'd be any big problem with, you know, Paul wrote it down and the writer of Luke here just stuck it in because it's a little easier to do it that way. You know, want to tell about it, and yeah, let's go ahead and use his words for this,
yeah.
This part.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, because it's kind of, he's saying, I'm compiling this book of Acts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To, you know, I'm not saying that I wrote every single word
yeah, right.
myself,
yeah.
but.
Yeah, you're not going to get marked down for plagiarism here.
No.
It's a strange, the Bible is a strange book. And it is completely involving miracle after miracle after miracle. The Apostle Paul. How'd he get in the picture? You know? God had him in mind from his...
When he was in his mother's womb.
His mother's womb. But Paul was anything but...
Paul was like all of us.
Yeah.
We were like Paul. I mean, that's who God wants.
He's in opposition to the scripture, or to the truth. He's just in opposition. But he's, you know, the thing about Paul, he had a good heart. No. He had a right heart. There's a little difference.
In yeah. It might not have been all that good.
Yeah. What he was doing, he thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God saw. And he says, I want to take this thing and turn it around, get him going the right direction, and use it. And so he said that he was the least of the apostles, but he was nowhere behind any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. He does say that, doesn't he?
Yeah. He was the least of the apostles.
Yeah, but based on all his efforts or something.
Yeah, he says to the point that he was persecuting God's real church.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, only Luke is with me.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's, and that was the,
and I
the
think,
book that
and
I
it kind of shows that Luke really wasn't as much a preacher or worker of miracles. He was there
to scribe.
To scribe and was faithful, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. I hadn't, that makes some sense, though, that the book of Acts would have that, and it's we. We're talking about we. Well, maybe it was Luke and Paul.
I thought I had heard one time that, you know, Luke kind of went on the historical quest of trying to capture from John, Matthew, and Mark, and created the book of, you know, what we call Luke, which was,
yeah,
and that's why it reads more like a diary or more of
a record.
It seemed like, and because it, I always got the impression because it was created after the fact.
Yeah,
it wasn't written the way same timing as events happened as the other gospels were.
Well, it doesn't look start by saying that he's going to give you an orderly account.
Yeah.
Seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write under the, in order, mm-hmm, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
That's in Luke.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's a first four verses of Luke.
Yeah, it's the opening.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Luke there, obviously, Jesus had rose from, I mean, he was already ascended. But he says, I have perfect understanding of all things. Who else says that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that word perfect is a... You know,
it could trip you up.
Yeah, right. It might be like complete.
It could trip me up anyways.
You know, but a really good understanding.
Okay, complete. Complete understanding. That's
good.
It seems like a little much. But I don't tell him, but he's not lying.
It is the word of God.
It is. But he's talking about himself.
Right.
He's talking about himself.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe he felt the Lord gave him complete understanding to be able to be able to put it down.
And this is the thing, though. You think if I have an understanding from God's word, and if I give it to you, I sure hope it's a good understanding. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to give you a wishy-washy thing, half thing. You know, I would. I say, hey, you know what I found in the scriptures? Look at this, and I would assume that
it's
perfect understanding, at least of what I'm talking about.
I wonder if it's a perfect understanding for you, because they all seem to have a good understanding, but they all looked at it from different viewpoint, mm-hmm. or different angle, or something. You know, they had different accounts about some of the same things, mm-hmm. so. That happened, you know.
I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing.
No,
I was just laughing at that. I was thinking, it is the inspired word of God, yet the humanity traits of the three different authors crept in there. But I'm sure not in a way that affects salvation, because God wouldn't have allowed that. But still, nonetheless, and then, you know, we're told... And the reason why there's multiple accounts is so we can look at the entire, you know, all of the mm-hmm. explanations to make sure that we have a complete understanding, you know. And this, because different events impacted them differently.
Sure.
As you'd expect.
Like any of us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, so why do one of us hear one thing one way, and then someone else hears it another way, and then you go, but both of these things...
See, I could tell sitting here tonight, but, you know, Keith had a certain thing that was impacting him. Pablo had something that was impacting him, you know, concerning walking in perfect or what in righteousness to receive the crown. You know, So, you know, we're all kind of getting different things at different times during the week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of interesting because then we come together and it all kind of melts.
Yeah, we put it on the table.
Yeah,
we all prophesize and we see where the Spirit goes.
Yeah.
When we see the in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us, earnestly desire our spiritual gifts, especially prophecy.
Right.
And we're starting to understand the ministry of the prophet is according to that we see in 1 Corinthians 14. And
let the others judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're getting a good dose of
and
let
so
the others
here's
judge.
Here's what it says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge.
Mm-hmm.
If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. And here's what it says, that you all may learn.
Yeah.
So when we're coming with different from different directions, not different directions, but different aspects of it, there is a learning thing mm-hmm. that keeps taking place. Mm-hmm. I learn probably as much or more from these sessions as anything I've ever been involved in. And, you know, the pastors, for the most part, are not open to that kind of a thought pattern, but you know what? If they're real, they are. If they're genuine, they are. If they're serious, they are.
The ones with a sincere heart for God do.
Yeah.
I got a good, like, 3-4 things that just really impacted me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot concerning the manna, you know, with us listening.
Yes, that
and
was
then,
good.
And then the crown of life and
yeah,
knowing that, yeah, we don't want to be spoiled by the world, but, you know, we haven't got enough spirit yet that we can't completely not be spoiled or stained. But we're
what it needs to be.
But our desire is to be there.
Yes, sir.
And that's the same as having a love for the truth, you know? Mm-hmm. Having a desire not to sin, not to be worldly.
That's letting me off the hook a little bit. But
yeah, well, yeah, me too. I have to keep repeating
that. Yeah. You're not walking in it, but you kind of know the concept, right?
Right.
At 3 o'clock this morning, I knew that what we are doing is equivalent or is on the same line as the manna.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. It was just
no doubt. Sure, no doubt.
So if the new covenant that God is making is to write the word in our minds and on our hearts, this would be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it even says that in the New Testament, there's somewhere where it gives the reference to this is the new manna. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. there's a reference to it.
I think in John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
it lines up. Yeah,
it says in Hebrews that this new covenant, this is a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
After the former days. The former days are the ones where the covenant, the word is written on tables of stone, and after those days, I'm going to make a new one. And the new one is going to be, I'm going to write these things. They're not going to be on tables of stone. I'm going to write these things in your minds and in your hearts.
And I really liked, running across what I did in Hebrews, seeing that there's only one priest now. And the good part is he stands before God mediating for us continually.
Yes. Ever before him.
The mediator.
Yeah. The mediator.
Yeah.
The man, Christ Jesus.
And any minute of the day you can have your sins wiped out if you repent.
So we have this profound scripture setting at the front of the church and up in the front of the old church, and I've wondered, I know the impact that it has had on a couple of people, but I wonder what the thought pattern is for a lot of people that come up to whatever gatherings we have and read that. I saw somebody read that, and they'd read it, they'd go, they'd look down. They'd read it, they'd look, they were drawn to it, but they couldn't face it. they couldn't face it because it's too convicting. If you really believe the Word of God, you have to do something with that verse. You can't ignore it.
Well, you can, I guess, but...
Yeah, but...
it requires some mental gymnastics.
To step around it.
Yeah.
And it puts you in a very precarious
walk
with God.
Yes, it does.
If you see it and then just don't want to.
So does 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Well, but God's not that concerned about the truth. God wants us to have unity through diversity. We all believe different. No, come on.
I was thinking of that the other day. Not that you want to get into numbers or anything, but I was wondering how many times truth is said in the word. I'm sure there's a pretty large emphasis, and it isn't just that it gets said a lot. It's when it is said, the emphasis that's put on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
strangely, the Gospel of John makes reference to it a whole lot more than Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke talks about faith a lot. John virtually doesn't.
But, I mean, even in the Old Testament, truth was mentioned.
Yes, but, yeah.
You know, I mean, all the way through, God is...
But love and truth.
are
emphasized by John.
Yeah.
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 And a lot of emphasis on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
Yeah, that's a lot there, too. Isn't there?
A lot of emphasis on the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep saying, and it's God saying this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right.
God is speaking through these guys.
You're right. So, well.
God bless everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you. We love you.
Tonight.
Love you.